everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Bob Dio. Bob's on the other side of the glass in our Space Age control room, ready to launch a new week, an abbreviated week, albeit we had a, we're back live after a nice, kind of unexpected three-day weekend, President's Day, and some people getting snow over in Benson, about an inch of snow. But this is just the beginning. They're saying that the next storm is going to be a lot colder, a lot wetter that's coming in Thursday night. But anyway, tonight's going to be really cold. Cover up. Make sure the pets are inside. Cover all the plants and the pipes. It's the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, February 19th, 2019. You're listening to 1030, Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our podcasts are available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com, and our live line number anytime during the hour, 790-2040. We're going to begin with writer Alice Hatcher. Alice is the author of The Wonder That Was Ours, a novel that won the DeZank Books 2017 Prize for Fiction and made the long list for the Center for Fiction's 2018 First Novel Award, along with novelists Tommy Orange, Lucy Tan, and Lisa Halliday. A former academic historian and university professor, Alice Hatcher has spent the last 10 years in Tucson writing fiction. Until the end of April, she'll be serving as Pima County Library's Writer in Residence. Alice joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Alice, how are you?
Good, and thank you for having me on.
Well, it's our pleasure. What is this program, this Writer in Residence program, that is associated with our library?
Right. I'm so happy to be part of it. Basically, every year, Pima County Library selects a local writer to be a writer in residence. And that writer has basically two main responsibilities, and one of them is to offer a couple of free public workshops that are focused on writing. And again, they're free, they're on the website of the library, and everybody's welcome to show up for those. And then to offer office hours to members of the public who want to make appointments for half-hour slots. And I've been meeting with people at all stages of writing on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at Himmel Park Library. And just so people know, anybody can sign up for a slot, and I've been meeting some incredible people. I'm just really surprised by the talent in this town, and they're really people who've just finished a novel and need advice about how to publish, to people who have never written fiction and just don't know how to start. And that's what I love. I mean, it's really daunting to start writing a novel or a memoir or even a short story. And so many of the people come in have never taken a writing class. For whatever reason, they've never taken, and some of them are in their 40s, 50s, 60s. Somebody was in their 80s.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's just so inspiring.
Well, certainly people that come to you in their middle age and later in life do have all sorts of life experience, and they certainly have no shortage of experience to write about. You came to write fiction at the age of 40, I believe, without any traditional background in writing. What are some of the pros and cons of starting to write fiction relatively late in life?
Right. Well, you've just named one of them. You know, I had a very circuitous path. I was a historian, and I graduated from the University of Michigan and went on to teach British Imperial History at the State University of New York. And I loved it. I loved teaching, but I was just obsessed with fiction. So I finally quit the job to get more time, and I was just so terrified. I had never taken a creative writing class. And this is one of the things I can say, you know, the fear I had coming into it was that every writer seemed to be so much younger. Everybody, you know, seemed to have these degrees from prestigious writing programs. And I was very intimidated. And I just kept thinking, I'm never going to be able to do this. And there's this saying that comparison is the thief of joy. And I think I was definitely really getting into a bad place. And then I heard Barbara Kingsolver speak. She came here to Tucson, and it was really a transformative experience. She kept emphasizing how much her training as a biologist had shaped her writing and given her authority to write about environmental themes. And she kept insisting that novelists don't just know how to write. That was very clunky, but they need something to write about. And it really just turned me around, and I realized that all my life experiences, and especially my background in history, had given me a goldmine of material. And instead of feeling like I'd wasted so many years doing something that wasn't necessarily my passion, I realized I really did have a wealth to draw upon. And I just realized, too, that not every writer is going to hit their stride at 21 years old, and everybody's going to have a different journey. So it was a long process to get to that, but it ended up being the case that my historical background's been critical in writing for me.
We're speaking with Alice Hatcher. Alice is the Pima County Library's newest writer in residence. She's going to be at the book fair. We'll be telling folks about that. She'll have three appearances at the Book Tucson Festival of Books, which is coming up a week from this upcoming weekend. I want to talk a little bit about your novel. Give us kind of the elevator pitch of what your novel is about. And I know it is about the Caribbean, an area that you and I share a love of. Tell us a little bit about this novel, The Wonder That Was Ours.
Right. Well, just as a quick bit of background, and I don't want to be the historian, up at the podium again, but I studied the Caribbean for quite a while as a historian, and I was very interested in the history of sugar plantations and the development of monocultures in the region. It's an incredibly diverse region culturally, and yet economically, there's not much diversification. There never really has been. In the 20th century, you saw the fruit monocultures, banana monocultures, and this kind of thing. And what we're seeing in the 21st century is something a little bit similar, with economies in the region being based very heavily, almost exclusively sometimes, on tourism and the cruise ship industry. And that can create for a precarious situation for some of the people who work in these areas. Some of these cruise ship forms of mass tourism aren't always the most sustainable. So that's the background of my novel. And the novel itself, in terms of the elevator pitch, it's about a taxi driver in the region who's on a fictional island. This is set in contemporary times. His name's Winston Cleave, and he spent years in prison on false charges of dealing drugs to American tourists. And when the novel opens, he's out of prison and he's suffering from PTSD and basically tries to black out the world by losing himself in books. And the day the novel opens, he picks up two Americans who have just been kicked off a cruise ship. And this actually does happen, as I've discovered. And the next day, one of these noroviruses breaks out on the ship and the island is quarantined. And what I follow is the rapid collapse of the economy on the island, and the way that the economic collapse and fears of contagion on the island lead to all sorts of tensions and ultimately violence. So it's really about how the cab driver, Winston, and other characters need to confront their mistrust of each other during this time of crisis, when there's just so much in their individual and collective histories that would mitigate against that.
And the novel is narrated, and this is where it's not narrated by a collective of cockroaches. How does that work? And I'm quickly running out of time, so go ahead.
Quickly, I once rented a car infested with roaches in Miami. That's true. And it stuck with me. So when I was writing this very introverted character, I used them as a device to get into his head. You can think about the volleyball Winston in the movie, Wilson in the movie Castaway. It was a device to get into his head so he could talk to them and we'd see what he was thinking. And I just fell in love with these roaches in the car. I ended up making them the narrators. They were really great because they were omniscient. They were all over the island, in the cars, air ducts, beneath beds. They could see everything going on, which really worked well with my large ensemble cast. I needed a narrator that was privy to everything, everywhere. And then just thematically, they're the most reviled creatures on Earth. People are so terrified of cockroaches, and this is a novel about fear and prejudice and mistrust, and also about the need for empathy. And so from both a craft perspective and a thematic perspective, they really worked out well. And I can assure potential readers that they are lovable. They're literary roaches, and I've been told they're the best thing about the novel.
All right. The Wonder That Was Ours, the winner of the 2017 DeZank, am I close to the pronunciation?
You're right.
Okay, DeZank Books Prize for Fiction. Do you have where you will be appearing at the Tucson Festival of Books in front of you? I know you've got, three appearances?
I do have three appearances, and I have a craft workshop, which is going to be a very elementary workshop about narrating your novel, finding the right narrator. That's on Saturday from 4 to 5 in the Integrated Learning Center. And then I have two panels. Unfortunately, I don't have the exact rooms. One's in the language building, another one's in the student union, but they're cheerfully titled Survival and then Catastrophic Moments. And I'm going to be with some really great authors. I'm so excited about the panels. Those are all online, but they're going to be some great people on those panels. I'm honored. I'm absolutely honored, and I'm thrilled.
And you're also going to you'll have some events at the Pima County at the library system. There's one in March 21st, another April 13th.
Right.
I suppose all of that information would be available on the Pima County Public Library website.
It is. And the one on the 21st should be a lot of fun. That's at Dusenberry Library up on River and River, I know. And
it's at River, really, River and Craycroft.
River and Craycroft. Yeah. I can never remember the cross section. Yeah. But that's going to be on how to open your novel. And that's going to be, I think, a lot of fun because everybody struggles with that. That's the common element I see in people coming into office hours. And once you have that, you know, you're going to be on a much easier track, whether it's a short story, a novel, how to open it.
Once you write that opening paragraph, you're off and running.
You're off
Hopefully.
And running. It's the
Alice Hatcher, Pima County Public Library's newest writer in residence, talking about her novel, her upcoming appearance at the Tucson Festival of Books, the book that she wrote. Her prize-winning first novel, The Wonder That Was Ours, that's available, I bet, at Amazon and everywhere else, correct?
Amazon, you can order it through Antigone if you want to go local, anywhere. Yeah, you can order it, or through DeZank. They would be thrilled.
Okay, thank you, Alice.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Alice Hatcher with us on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. The program is Buckmaster, that's me. Across from me in our beautiful state-of-the-art studios, Shelley Fishman giving me the thumb that goes sideways, which means the markets are relatively flat, but we've got some other things to talk about, including Amazon's big decision to not go to the Big Apple. Shelley's next on Buckmaster. And hold on one sec, Bob, Mona's Danish Bakery. Yes, Mona's has some exciting news, which I'll be sharing in the coming days. I mean, within a few days. It's great news for Mona's, located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve and the team right now available for you to serve lunch on that great bread that came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, on the web at monasdanishbakery.com. There's a link on my website, buckmastershow.com. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Shelley's next. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hansen, and we are excited to announce that our annual travel showcase has a new location, new presentations, and exciting new offers. Sunday, February 24th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador, we'll have over 40 travel representatives offering a presentation and your chance to learn about where they go, who they are, and their exciting offers. I will also be presenting an unfiltered look at travel topics, so you do not want to miss the 2019 Travel Showcase from Bon Voyage.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Tell you what, I'm going to consult right now with him. Shelley Fishman with us on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's our Tuesday Moneymaker Report, and it kind of feels like a Monday, but I know it's Tuesday because Shelley's seated across the table from me. Hey, Shell, how's it going?
It's going well, Bill. How are you doing?
Well, doing very well. I was interested in the mayor of New York's comments about sort of covering...
You understand what he was getting at in that
op-ed? I didn't,
and
I read the op-ed. I read it twice, and I was trying to figure out, well, are you saying you're sorry that Amazon is not going to be coming to New York, or what are you saying?
He was trying to make lemonade out of a bag full of lemons.
Leaving the door open to at least explore the possibility of maybe deconstructing what were the complaints?
That's what I was looking for in that article. Some indication that they're continuing to talk, but there was nothing there.
What do you make of all of this? And we're talking about 100,000 jobs. I mean, the big bonanza for really any city in America would love, I assume most cities, if they could handle it, would love 100,000 jobs.
Well, sure. They're not all directly Amazon jobs. They're the
related.
People who kind of related. Yeah. They're suppliers and contractors and restaurants and all of the things related to a major corporation moving into your neighborhood. It's very difficult to understand how the opposition to an Amazon moving into New York City could have gelled so quickly and made a rational argument to people that this is really a bad thing. And, you know, as a politician, I have all of my own kind of opinions about some of those things. But what's going on here is really an expansion of the discussion of income inequality, of changing neighborhoods, of the experience of cities like San Francisco and Boston and Vancouver and New York City as well, with a decreasing availability of affordable housing for people, the idea that Amazon was getting $3 billion in tax breaks. Now, that's not cash. That's tax breaks. Of course, in return, they would probably, over 10 years, have about a $30 billion increases in tax revenues. But the people who were concerned about the effects of moving a company that big into one location on the other side of the river and displacing, ultimately, a whole bunch of people who lived there who were in low-income housing, that was somehow basically unfair and unwise. And what it really talks to is what I perceive to be a changing attitude toward these high-tech giants who are, from an economic perspective, our future. I mean, when you take a look at where the growth is, where the profitability is, where the ideas are, they're in these companies. Now, it is true that the leaders of these companies have become fabulously wealthy, and some of those companies have stumbled badly in their social responsibilities. But for the most part, these companies are some of the most progressive employers in the country.
Yet there is this resistance.
Exactly.
And you could see, and I think where you're going with this, you could see some other cities perhaps asking all sorts of questions of Amazon if they were to bring that kind of a huge operation.
And those are the right questions to ask, Bill. For instance, I mean, I grew up in New York.
Yeah.
I understand how old the infrastructure is. I understand the minute you go across the East River into areas along the East River on the Long Island and or the Queens and Brooklyn side, you are into neighborhoods that have traditionally been downtrodden neighborhoods. And now what you're going to do is, by definition, displace everybody who lives there. So the right questions to ask are, what are you, Amazon, going to do to help us fix this infrastructure, to help us fix our subways, to help us make sure there's affordable housing and those kinds of things? Now, if you're the, you know, the chairman of Amazon, you scratch your head and say, wait a second, that's not my job.
Yeah, we're not in the subway repair business.
Right. We'll help you by bringing in tax revenue, but
then
that's
it's up
your
to you.
Problem,
right.
Mayor de Blasio,
right.
And Mayor and Governor Cuomo.
Yeah. Right.
But those discussions apparently were not had early on enough in this process. Now, kind of coincident with what we're seeing on the progressive left and the Democratic Party, a lot of these questions are being asked about infrastructure, about income inequality, about the whole range of social contract issues.
I mean, it's almost like the narrative is the platform for the new Democratic Party of
Precisely.
What we heard
on
some of these reasons about the income equality, the housing issues, the infrastructure.
And these are all intertwined and interwoven with each other. And as an investor and as an investment manager, it is of concern. One of the things that I have to discuss with my clients is what kind of volatility in certain sectors of investment is going to result from these kinds of upheavals as intellectual property jobs replace manufacturing jobs, as internationalism, as multinationalism changes where we do things in our growing economy, as global warming becomes more and more of a factor. So you see how this all integrates into what I do for a living, which is advise people on how best to invest their money. People come to me, well, we have to be invested in high tech. It's the up and coming thing. Then you take a look at the volatility in the NASDAQ and you take a look at the number of startups that go bankrupt within
sure.
the first 3 years.
So you have to ask these questions.
You must ask
you
these
have,
questions.
There are concerns.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now this overlay, which is mm-hmm. a fairly new overlay, mm-hmm. of mainstream politicians, I think the progressives are mainstream. They're not the majority at this point, but they're certainly right up there, asking serious questions about the wisdom of bringing commercial progress into a city like New York. And that's a little baffling. We can understand it when we peel back the onion. But as an investor, you have to be really careful to pick and choose and understand what kinds of headwinds are going to be thrown in the way of the progress of, you know, companies like Amazon, Microsoft, Salesforce in San Francisco, Yahoo, YouTube. I mean, all of these companies that have really created this massive new industry, not just here in the United States, but across the world. and how they are going to be regulated, how they're going to be restricted in terms of their growth and acquisitions. And these are important things for investors to fully research before they make commitments to certain industries.
All right, some good thoughts. Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. You can find out more about Shelley at buckmastershow.com. Shelley Fishman on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Shelley, thank you very much. I hope the rest of the week is good for you.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
12:30 on Buckmaster. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. How about a road trip? 3 hours drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of many great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities in the Gila Wilderness and historic Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Again, southwestnewmexico.org. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
It is the Buckmaster Show, this Tuesday edition, this portion presented by our friends over at Zocalo at Green Things. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. They're having a Zocalo open house Saturday afternoon from 1 to 6 this Saturday. Of course, Zocalo used to be over at Country Club and Broadway, all that great merchandise from Mexico. It's now part of the Green Things on the Green Things site on their 13 acres. And together, it's like a marriage made in heaven. Check out Green Things. Been around since 1970, getting better and better by the day. As an Arizona taxpayer, you have a unique opportunity to direct your tax money to schools and charities you support and believe in. You have to make a donation up front, but provided you stay within the prescribed limits, you can get every dollar back in the form of a tax credit. One of the Tucson nonprofits standing to benefit from this tax credit is the Tucson Jewish Community Center. With us from the center, Nicole Wiley is here. And Nicole is the marketing director. Nicole, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks. How are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for coming in. Josh Schenker is with us. Josh is the director of youth and camping services at the Jewish Community Center. Josh, how are you doing?
Doing just fine. Thanks for having us.
Nicole, how important is this to the mission over at the Jewish Community Center?
Extremely important. We are really excited because starting last December, we became a part of this tax credit and also part of the coalition. So this means that all of our members, as well as people in the community, can go ahead and donate their tax dollars to the Tucson J. And we provide all sorts of scholarships for people with financial need. And so for us to be able to do this and for people to be able to give their money in a different way is really an incredible thing.
Is there, what would you say, Nicole, is the biggest misconception about the J? What do you hear every day, every hour?
Yes.
Maybe not every hour, but whatever. What do you hear every day?
It could be every hour. So the Tucson J is open to everyone, open to all. This is all ages, all faiths. We are a diverse place and we welcome everyone. There is something for everyone at the Tucson J, and it's difficult because as much as we say open to all and open to everyone, I don't think that people really truly understand that they are welcome to come to the Tucson J and there is a place for them there, from classes to events to activities and programming and a lot of children's programming too. And that's what Josh is here for, to talk about camp and how people can use their tax credit to affect children in camp.
How important is this tax credit to what you do, Josh, and to your programs with kids?
Well, I think it's huge. It just allows us to open our doors to more people. It gives families that are in need the opportunity to come to our programming that wouldn't otherwise be able to participate.
Tell me a little bit about some of your summer programs, not just summer, but kind of year-round programs that are available to, I guess, pretty much all ages of kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have an early childhood education center. We've got mm-hmm. our after-school program for school-aged kids. We've got all sorts of sports and rec activities, our swim team, all sorts of things like that.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a year-round thing. It's not just the summer programs, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
And how do... If a parent is interested in finding out what services are available for the kids, is there a good starting place, Josh, that they should go to?
Our website is always a great place to start, and we actually just launched our brand new revamped website. So that's TucsonJCC.org, and that has all the information for our whole organization on there.
What about the camping services? What do you offer in that area?
So Camp J is a traditional summer camp. It's a summer date camp, and we have opportunities for rising kindergartners all the way through eighth grade. And, you know, we have the full range of activities, everything from arts and crafts to athletics, music and drama, archery, cooking, gardening. We pride ourselves in having a little bit of everything so that no matter the interest, there's something for every child.
Nicole, let's get back to the tax credit without going into a tremendous amount of detail, because I know there are places where folks can get more information, correct?
Sure,
but maybe
yes.
You can kind of give us kind of the overview of what we're talking about and how this really works, the basics of this.
Absolutely. So like Josh mentioned, there is a lot of information on our website. You can go to TucsonJCC.org, and specifically for this tax credit, you can do TucsonJCC.org/give, and you will be able to find all of the information there. But we are now a qualified charitable organization. You can give a max credit donation of $400 for a single, and then $800 for a married couple, and that's if you are filing jointly. So that is a lot of money that can go to do a lot of good, and it can still count toward this year's tax return as long as you donate anytime through tax day, which is in April. So again, we do have a lot of different ways that you can help the Tucson Jay, specifically help our children wanting to attend summer camp who might not otherwise be able to. But this way is a good way to redirect those tax funds.
And for folks who've driven by the J for years there on River, they've seen really an evolution, Nicole and Josh, of the way you have really updated your facilities. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, there's some state-of-the-art, all the exercise equipment, all of that. But for folks that just drive by, maybe stop by sometime. Take
Absolutely.
A look inside, right?
Yeah. Please do. Yeah. We have an art gallery that is newly renovated. We have a sculpture garden, which is outdoors, beautiful sculpture, and that is transitioning in about a month. We are adding new sculptures to that route. So, and those are all open to the public and free. So you can peek your head in, come say hello, and see what we have to offer without even spending a dime. So we really love that. And then if you come to the J, you'll feel the buzz that we have going on there with all of the kids running around too.
What are your hours? Are you open every day?
We are open every single day.
Uh-huh.
And goodness, so the fitness center
The fitness center, you can start before your work day easily, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And then it goes until 10 p.m., so 5 a.m.
So you've got very, very liberal hours for folks to come
Yes,
by.
We do.
All right, getting back to Josh Shanker with the and your programs that you do for the summer camp for kids. You know, I understand that $800,000 covers the financial assistance for really half the cost of the summer camp for a kid.
$800, yeah, correct.
Like $800, yes.
Yeah, so
not $800,000, $800.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so the $800 is the max you can give as a couple, and that would cover the financial assistance for half the summer for a child.
Give me a couple of stories. Do you have a couple of quick stories, success stories of young people that have had a great time at the camp?
Yeah, I mean, we do have a lot of stories. As we began this campaign this year for our Camp J Giving, we did put together a few stories on real campers and their experiences with us and how we've been able to impact them and their families through camp, but also especially through this giving campaign. And those will be available very soon up on the website, and we'll have videos of those things like that. But we're very happy to be able to provide the type of program that's open to all kids, regardless of their ability or opportunities. And through this giving, we're extremely lucky and grateful to have such grateful contributors to be able to open our doors to more people that wouldn't otherwise be able to.
And after school programs, just roughly, how does that work?
So we pick up from 25 different schools in the area and bring them to our facility where we provide programming for them until their parents are ready to pick them up. So we pick them right up from school, bring them to us, and we do fun activities with them anywhere between 1:30 and 6 o'clock.
All right. Josh Shanker, the Director of Youth and Camping Services at the Tucson J, the Tucson Jewish Community Center. Nicole Wiley, the Marketing Director. Nicole and Josh, thank you very much. And again, final word about your website, Nicole, where people can go to get more information.
Yeah, there really is so much that it's just difficult to cover it in an interview. So please go to TucsonJCC.org to find out all of our youth programs from school days out to parents' night out, where we can basically babysit while you go and have a nice night out. And then camp, of course, is our biggest, most awesome program, I would say, that we do at the Tucson J.
And Nicole, again, about the information on the tax credit, is there a place that you would recommend going to find out information on the web about that?
Yes, TucsonJCC.org/give.
There you go. Nicole and Josh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Buckmaster Show on 1030, the voice trusted local news and talk. Our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report is coming up after we take our break. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamori.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting the Doo-Wop Project this Friday, performed by the stars of the Broadway musicals Jersey Boys and Motown. The musical, the Doo-Wop Project, takes the audience on a journey through some of the greatest music in American pop and rock history. So lots going on at the Fox this week. The Fox welcoming the Doo-Wop Project. That's going to be on Friday night next week. Tori Kelly on the 25th. The Banff Center Mountain Film Festival starts Friday, February 28th. The Clairvoyants are coming to town. They'll be amazing on Sunday, March the 3rd. And John Pizzarelli Trio performing on March the 6th. Be certain not to miss a note. For more information, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now from Visit Tucson, Mr. Dan Gibson. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Did you have a nice President's Day holiday?
It was uneventful, but that was delightful in itself.
There you go. You're right in the middle of a very, very busy tourism season. We'll try to carve out a few minutes at the end of our arts report. But first, what's going on the arts report?
Well, gosh, you know, it's a busy season in general, but the arts never stop. But there's actually quite a few really incredible things happening. Here is usually try to mention the low cost or free-ish things because, you know, everybody's on a budget these days. Mm-hmm. But March 17th, you may remember, I think most people around town remember the excitement that happened in 2017 around the recovery of the U of A Art Museum's William de Kooning Woman Ochre,
oh, yes,
the painting that was stolen. You can see it coming up on March 17th. De Kooning revealed at the University of Arizona Museum of Art. It is a fundraiser for the UAMA Leadership Council, so it is not cheap. However, if you're a non-museum member, and you purchase tickets before March 1st, you'll receive a one-year museum membership. There'll be food from Café à la Carte and Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, and you get to see the pre-conservation viewing of Woman Ochre. This is it will not likely be in public display in Tucson any other time in 2019, so this would be an excellent chance to check it out. You can find tickets at artmuseum.arizona.edu before it takes its exciting renovation journey.
So this is before they have started the conservation work on the de Kooning.
Which is extensive, yes, because it was not in a very museum-like environment for a very long time.
But this is the first kind of public viewing that will be really in quite a while, many years.
It's true. Yeah, absolutely. Since, there was a few people saw it at the press conference, but it was stolen in 1985. So
wow.
If you've missed it, now's the chance. Might be worth coughing up $100. You know?
There you go.
And you could lord it all over your friends. I mean, which is basically why I do most things.
That's right. 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson is with us. It's our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. What else is going on?
Well, you know, to balance it out, this on February 23rd, this Saturday, 12 p.m. to 4 p.m., it is the Ansel Adams Public Celebration.
Ooh, very
at the
cool.
Center for Creative Photography. It is a afternoon of Ansel, the opening of their new exhibit, Ansel Adams Examples, self-guided. They'll have object archival tours, cake, which everybody loves, vintage cameras, hands-on family activities. You can make there's going to be a chalk mural and a photo booth. Plus, photographer Mark Burns will be there speaking. He was hired by the Park Service to photograph all of the national parks, and he has a great sense of the work that Ansel Adams did. Also, U of A President Dr. Robert C. Robbins will be there. So,
very cool.
Limited space in the auditorium, but it is free and open to the public. Just try to get there early if you want to see the speech at 1 p.m.
UA President John Schaefer, who is quite a photographer in his own right. In fact, there's a new postage stamp series of cactus flowers that he photographed. But Dr. Schaefer was instrumental in bringing the portfolio of Ansel Adams back in 1984 to really create the Center for Creative Photography. So this is kind of going to be, Ansel Adams is kind of the center, or you might call it the cornerstone, Dan Gibson, of that collection.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I had no idea of that story until I think I maybe heard it. It's when I started working here. But it's a crazy set of coincidences and bold asks that ended up with this incredible photography museum in Tucson.
All right. What else is going on?
Well, you know, one of my actual favorite events all year long, it's art and food. So these are most of the things I enjoy. March 2nd, the Empty Bowls 2019 fundraiser brought to you by Interfaith Community Services. It is a fundraiser to fight hunger at the Tucson Chinese Cultural Center. It is delicious samplings of soups, breads, desserts, all these things that you could get in bowls, but also beautifully handcrafted ceramic bowls by local artists.
Mm.
And all the money goes to Interfaith Community Services food banks, which is an incredible opportunity. But there'll be local restaurants involved, live music, and you can purchase the bowls as well. So go to Tucson, I think you go to the Interfaith Community Services website and you can get tickets from there.
Now, how big a part is this, a visit to, how big a piece of the pie for Visit Tucson is our Tucson arts community?
You know, it's one of those things that comes up when you survey visitors, it comes up all the time to say that, you know, arts and cultural experiences are a big part of why people are interested in Tucson. You know, we don't necessarily, the Tucson Festival of Books is probably the biggest, like, signature event in that space and sort of adjacent stuff to the Gem Show. So, but, you know, I think when people come here, they get a sense of the artistic nature of the community and, you know, they go to things like the Tucson Museum of Art or DeGrazia Gallery of the Sun or things like that. It's definitely a big part of how we talk about the city is to say, you know, it's a place that, you know, art's sort of imbued in everything around you, you know, and as the public art that comes with city projects or the murals that have popped up around downtown, it's nice to people get a feeling for that right away, and it's important.
Well, I'm going to do a quick plug for the Tucson Festival of Books. I will be interviewing Newsweek national correspondent Nina Berline about her book about Donald Trump's childhood and how and how that how the childhood has influenced the man we see today. My interview with Nina Berline will be in the U of A Center for, it's the Integrative Learning Center, Saturday morning, kicking off the book festival, Saturday morning, a week from this Saturday, 10 a.m. So that's going to be a little bit of plug for Buckmaster on stage, you might say, Dan Gibson.
People can thank you in person for what you've done. They'll be like, hey, thanks for all the great radio. We'll be there. We have a booth there Saturday and Sunday with our brand new visitor guide, and I'll be there Sunday afternoon. I do not get to interview anybody, but if somebody wants to stop by the booth, I'll interview them. That's fine.
How would you characterize the tourism season? I mean, the weather has played into our hands, certainly storm after storm. A wave of weather seems to be moving across the country every couple of days. Is that helping our winter season?
I think, I mean,
hard to gauge, I'm sure.
Yeah, a little early. I mean, I think you will see sort of impulse purchases that people are coming here. I will say that the Gem Show, I mean, besides having just more shows than there has been in the past, we had some distinctly sold out days in Tucson, especially during the first week of the Gem Show, during the more like wholesaler friendly time. But I mean, there were days where you could not functionally get a hotel room in Tucson. And while that sounds counterintuitive to what you want for tourism, it's good news for us because it means that people are, you know, filling these spaces and that the hotels are making good money. So January was better than last January. It's better than most Januaries. February's, I think, going to be so far has been a stellar month. And I think when we get the reporting, like mid-March, you'll see that. I will be sure to share it with you. But
all right.
Well, it's been an incredible season so far. I think it's only getting better, and more coverage, more people talking about Tucson, all the things are seeming to come together.
All right. Very good news. Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. Thank you very much, Dan.
Always my pleasure.
The Buckmaster Show, our Fox Tucson Arts Report. So much going on over at the Fox. Let's see if I can kind of summarize some of these shows that are coming up. The Doo-Wop Project is starting. Well, the show, the Doo-Wop Project, takes the audience on a journey through some of the greatest music in American pop and rock history. That will be this Friday. And then on March the 6th, the Fox Tucson Theater welcomes John Pizzarelli Trio, revered on prime contemporary interpreters of the Great American Songbook. Pizzarelli's performance will highlight his 2017 album release, Sinatra and Jobin, at 50. So that ought to be a great show. Doo-Wop Project Friday. Next week, see Tori Kelly on the 25th. The Banff Center Mountain Film Festival starts on Friday the 28th. That's one of the best film festivals in the United States, an area I love very much up in Banff and Lake Louise, Alberta, Canada. The Clairvoyance Amaze on Sunday, March the 3rd, and then John Pizzarelli, the trio, performing on March the 6th. Be certain to not miss a note. For more information, visit foxtucson.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, this Tuesday edition. My thanks to Bob Dio, Bob on the other side of the glass, doing such a great job as he does every day here on the Buckmaster Show, engineering and producing, making sure all the buttons are pushed and going in the right direction, I guess. Steve Rivera is coming up next. Eye on the Ball is a very popular sports show. We'll be back with you tomorrow on Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.